can't stop it, you can't slow it down. You just got to kind of hold on and just ride it out. But there's so much that I didn't get to touch on this morning that I hope with you guys I can get back into it and show y'all some things. And the reason I wanted y'all to go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12 is I wanted to show y'all a verse right there. Did I say 12 or 10? Verse 10. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if, do y'all see that? For if, when we were enemies. Do y'all see that right there? I want y'all to I want you to really underline. I don't know how it's in your Bible right there. But it says, for if, when we were enemies. Underline that right there. You need to know this. You were an enemy of God. You're going to run into some people. You are going to run into some people who say things like, I have always loved God. I have always been a Christian. I have always. No. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all been, at one time in our life, an enemy of God. Do you understand that? When you were birthed into this world, you were birthed into the lineage and line of Adam, not Christ. Okay? So I wanted you to see that where it says enemy. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Okay, we were enemies of God. He died. He reconciled. When you start to think about this, He was reconciling with you. While you were an enemy, He was extending a way for you to be saved. So now, through His death, He was reconciling. Now, through His life, we have life eternal. Amen? What this needs to do is it needs to hook up with this. Wait a minute, if He died for me and I accept that He died for me, now that I understand that He lives eternally because of the resurrection, I therefore am a part of that resurrection. Therefore, I shall live for Jesus. Does that make sense? All right, let's jump back over. The reason I showed you that is I wanted you to understand that when you're seeing this, we've stumbled upon this song. Somebody's going to do it soon. We stumbled upon it, and it's a wonderful song. But in every Bible story, especially the New Testament, when you're reading the Bible, but when that Bible story becomes reality to you, the Bible goes from a book with a story in it to wow, that's my life. Amen? And there's several in there now. The woman at the well was my first endeavor. It was the first endeavor that I ever experienced. When I was reading it, God spoke to my spirit, and I realized that that was not the woman at the well that I was reading. That was me, right? And you say, well, how can you be a woman at that? That's not the point. The point was she had five husbands, and the one that she was living with now was not her husband. Amen? I was reading that in Chatsworth, Georgia, at a kitchen table, like many kitchen tables I've read the Bible at since then for multiple years. This is the first time God ever spoke to me like this. I was sitting there having my coffee, having my Bible, reading, and all of a sudden God said, five anythings. Just as clear as if my mama or my daddy was talking to me. He said, five anythings. The whole Bible changed from that point on. I'd read the Bible. I'd studied the Bible. I'd feel the Holy Spirit when I'd read the Bible. I was doing things in the Bible. But my gosh, this was shortly after I was saved. God said, five anythings, and my whole spirit leaned forward and absorbed what He was saying. Kevin, you've crammed five different things into your life that you tried to satisfy your soul with, and guess what? You can cram one more in there, and they're never going to satisfy you until you put me in my place. Amen? So every time I seen that woman at the well now, it's a special place for me. It's a special opportunity when I see that story because I realize something. All she was doing was she was trying to put one guy after another into her life. All she was trying to do is trying to fill the void that was left by Jesus. And you can do that with drugs. You can do that with money. You can do that with jobs. You can do that with anything that's not Jesus. But the moment you do it with Jesus, whoo, your whole life might not straighten out, but your spirit straightened out. Amen? your eternity straightened out. You don't have to figure it all out because it's for some reason it all makes sense. Amen. Even the failures. Man, I'm preaching. I don't even know why I'm not right. We're in Luke 10. But I want to tell you this. Even your failures will make sense. Is there anybody in here since you've been saved, you thank God for the failures in your life? I mean, that brought you to the place where God can save you? I don't think if I'd had any other life, I would have came to Jesus the way I did. He broke me in all the right places and healed me in the right place. Amen? Ain't that good? Ain't it good how God can just break you and break you and break you? And you're sitting there going, God, why don't you bless me and bless me and bless me? Why don't you show me? And he goes, I'm trying to get your heart in a place where you can see me. Amen? So this story right here has so much more of that now. When I see this man traveling down from Jericho, I see every facet of it. I see myself in August 28 of 04. I see myself that, you know, half dead, naked, wounded. The enemies had attacked, and I allowed them to attack. But I've developed the enemies way more. They were my friends instead of my, you know, they weren't just people that ambushed me. Some of that happened too. But praise God, I'll tell you right now, who else I left out of that little enemy group was me. Amen? One of the biggest enemies I had or have sometimes is me. I mean, a lot of times I would like to sit around and blame the devil. The devil did this, and the devil did that, and the devil that. Man, you just go ahead and change names and put Kevin did this, and Kevin did that. Kevin thought this, and the devil was just sitting back going, I would like to help you out, but you're doing a fine job yourself. Amen? I was going to tempt you. I was going to try you. I was going to set some things up. Man, you're just running well. Man, that's who my real enemies were. Amen? So when I seen this, when I see this story now, it's totally different. But now I want to absorb it. I want to learn. How many of you get tired of learning the hard way? Is there anybody in here you've learned the hard way enough? Man, I'm trying to get to that place now where, hey, you know what? I don't have to make the mistake. I can watch somebody else make it. Let's jump in right here on verse 31. And by chance, do y'all see that? And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Do y'all see that? I love preaching. I preach it the way I always preach it this morning. I teach it the way I always teach it. It's right. It's religion, and religion came and it passed him by. But I want you to understand, sometimes we get religious and we don't understand it. We don't realize it. We don't realize we become religious. Amen? Okay, you're sitting. We'll sit and kind of wrestle around with this. But this weekend, when you got up, when the alarm clock went off this morning, or whenever you woke up and you were getting ready, you had to be here by what time? 10. Okay. Some of you said, "Okay, I got to be there by when?" Okay, 11. There you go. So guess what? You were religious because on Sunday you knew you had to be somewhere at 11, right? Okay, so guess what? You get kind of religious. Now, at about 12 o'clock or 12, a little some after 12, you don't really realize it, but all of a sudden, your body's chemical makeup all of a sudden starts saying, I don't know what he's doing, but he needs to hurry up because it's about dinner time. So y'all could have said amen for the first time. But you can start looking, wait a minute, it's 12:30 now, we're past. And Lord help us, if we get to 1, we are not a church of God. Right? All right, I'm helping some of y'all. But what I want y'all to see, we get into these monotonous things that we think everything happens on Wednesdays and Sundays, right? We get dressed up, we get cleaned up, we go to church. We've got some religiosities about ourselves, but we need to be careful because we can learn from his mistake that sometimes God lays people in our paths and we have to look at them with empathy and compassion. It's okay that we go to church at 11. It's okay that we get dressed up. It's all right that we're going somewhere for the Lord. It's okay that we're going to gather. We're going to assemble ourselves. We're going to praise. We're going to worship. We're going to learn. It's okay that you've got into a religious situation in that. But don't let that become a place that cuts off your compassion to people that need your help. Amen? You should set out from your house or from the place that you work every single day with this mindset. If there's somebody in my path that needs Jesus, and in any way I can deliver that, in my capacity, I need to be willing to do it. Amen? Because if we're not careful, we'll be religious about doing religious things. We'll step right at the prefaces. We'll step right off into eternity and stand before God and say, I waited my whole life waiting on my ministry to come. And all of a sudden, I'm afraid the projector will roll down and the high definition video will start running. And he will show us one after another, after another, after another that he put in our path. And we said, but we were heading to church. We were going somewhere that we do on a regular basis. I didn't see that person. I didn't know you wanted me to do that. Amen? Boy, listen, guys, I'm not sitting here telling you, I'm just telling you, listen, God makes it obvious. This person, this religious person, hey, man, he's seen him. And he passed by on the other side. He left home that day. He left Jerusalem, probably in the temple. He didn't leave with a mindset of, I'm going to be compassionate. I'm going to love on somebody till they know who God is. He was thinking, I'm going home. Listen, we get in this rut. I'm going home, and the next time it's my opportunity to go back to Jerusalem, to go back to temple, I will. Amen? Can we get there? All right, I went to church on Sunday. It's my job. I go to work. I go to home, and then I go to work, and then I'll try to get back to church. And all the way in there, there's God's working. Amen? Man, I said, some of y'all, I told you, I gave you a warning. I said this morning, I'm going to preach a lot of this tonight. I gave y'all there was a great football game on TV too. I mean, y'all could have been like, man, all right, Kevin, I got the gist of it this morning. Man, y'all are bloody. Y'all come in here, man, want to get beat up again tonight. Man, I'm glad you did. You're going to be better for it, amen? Verse 32, and likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. What do you think was worse? I know how I preached it this morning. What do you think's worse? Seeing it, avoiding it, and going on, and they don't know and you don't know anything that's happened. Or are you walking all the way up to them, assessing the whole situation, and then leaving? Which one's worse? I believe so too. If we're not careful, I believe that we can get all the way up in somebody's face, understand they need help, and realize we didn't leave the house today to be compassionate about what you needed. I left the house today because I'm going somewhere. I was at the temple. I was up there doing my religious duties, and I fulfilled the law, and I'm going home. I did the sacrifices up there. I don't have to sacrifice anymore. I'm going to the house. I let you see my face. What do you think? Listen, I'm preaching right here better than we're going to let on right here. But what happens? Now they have a face to the one who didn't help. Amen? So therefore, all of a sudden now we're stepping out in front of people and we're talking about God. We'll stand at courthouse doors on national days of prayer. Golly, we'll go somewhere. We'll want somebody to make a big to-do about us. We'll put on our best suit, and we'll go speak in front of a big group of people and say a bunch of things. But guess what? Lord forbid if that person who was laying dead on the side of the road shows up at that meeting and sits on the front row and goes, remember me? Too busy, right? Didn't have enough time. When we can get that, we can get both sides of that, amen? That I think we need to be careful. And I don't like this. This is gritty preaching. It's gritty teaching. Amen. Because you know what? It's easy just to kind of check off the checkbox of I went to church and I got mine and I was there and bless God, that's good enough. Amen. But God, that's not really what Jesus came to do, and that's really not what we're supposed to be about. This place in here is supposed to be an edifying place. We're supposed to glorify God, strengthen ourselves to go out there and really confront everything that we're supposed to be a part of. Now let's look at, y'all ready? Let's look at this person who has no title, no title whatsoever. Can I go a step further? Probably doesn't even attend a good standard church of this time. They worship in high places in this place. You say it's right to worship in Jerusalem. We worship down here in the mountains like we think we should worship. Maybe y'all remember? Watch this right here. Watch. The old Samaritan. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed. Listen, he was on a trip. He was going somewhere. He was not eating. Y'all might want to write this down. There's some meat right here y'all going to have to get. He was not from there. The first two, it is very, very significant. A lot of the priests and a lot of the Levites lived in Jericho, and they would commute up to Jerusalem during their duty times, and they would come back and live in Jericho. That's where they lived. This Samaritan was just passing through. You better think about this. There was a man who was not even a religious person just traveling through. God, don't let somebody travel through Flat Top Mountain and blow our doors off, helping our community better than we do, and we live here. Amen? Watch somebody come in here and just go, well, man, they ain't got no church and they ain't got no people up here. They've got people who need help. We're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to do this. And we're sitting right here. Well, how about those people? Amen? This guy's on a journey. He's just driving. He's just riding through. He's got his donkey. He's going, I'm going through there. And all of a sudden he looks, hey, man, there's a problem here. Think about this. He's got limited. He is very limited in the reach. Man, I guarantee you that priest and that Levite was related to somebody, had homes, had beds, had resources, could have got clothes, could have got all kinds of oil and wine and different things it needed. But guess what? Here's a guy who his resources are packed in his packages. Man, are y'all having a good time? Good Lord. I don't know if y'all get stuff like this, but I love this. This makes it makes everything turn when I want to be better because of this stuff. Watch this right here. Bless you. And as he journeyed, he came where he was, right? Listen, oh, that's good. I was sitting there writing. I made a note at home. I don't bring him with me, but he said, "Come, Jesus comes where you are." Amen. He come right where he was. Amen. That's good. We can't come to Jesus, but he can come to us. Amen. I hear it all my life. I'm going to get to Jesus. One of these days, I'm going to make a deal with the man upstairs. One day, I'm going to make it right. I was seeking the Lord God. God, he finds you way before you ever find him. He comes to you. He meets you where you're at. Amen. You're not one day going to get an epiphany and go after him. Praise God. God's been pursuing you most of your life, if not all of it. Amen. At different times, he just sins. He sins and sins. And you think sometimes we get all caught up. I'm trying to help somebody. Just listen. Somebody tune in right here. They ain't been tuned in all night. Well, just tune in right here. Some of us think, well, I got a relative that don't know nothing about God, and God ain't. Let me tell you a secret. God works on them. God visits them. God loves them. God knows about them. Amen. Sometimes we get this little thing about us. I remember I used to go to my dad and tell him, well, man, if I'd have done this, if I'd have done that. And God said, if the whole heavens are hanging on you, Kevin, and what you can do, we're in big, big trouble. He said, when you were wild and out, all the way out there in the world, I didn't have to come after you. You know what I did? I sent a shot into heaven for prayer for you, and I knew God would find you. Amen? Some of us need to change how we pray. God, I can't do it. God, I can't. Here's another good prayer. Maybe my family ain't going to hear me. Maybe this relative of mine has shut the door on me. But praise God, that won't stop me from reaching out to somebody else who will. God, you send somebody down there to break their door down. Amen? I would just love to keep on preaching right there. A certain Samaritan, he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Man, you know what he did? This is what it really means, the definition of compassion. He looked, God, this is so good. He looked at his worst problems. Good Lord. The first two passed by. One seen him, didn't do anything. One came and looked over the situation, seen that the problems were bigger than he could handle. Amen? The law, God, I should preach this, Dorothy. This is how I should preach it. The law came and looked at him and realized one thing. I can't fix that. All I can do is say to the person laying in the street, you're broke. There's an old man. You're broken. I know that. Amen? But you know what? This is who Jesus is. This is how Jesus works. Jesus looked at him and said, I see every one of your problems, but I see your biggest problem, and that's what's got to get fixed right here, right now, on this road. Amen? He healed the biggest wound that was causing him to be half dead. He started healing that wound on the road. Whoo! Glory to God. See, that's our problem. We think that the situations that are presented us are the big problems. She drinks. She lies. She sleeps around. He sleeps around. He steals stuff. Listen, all those are leaves on the tree. Amen? Let's get down to the root. The root is they don't know Jesus. Amen? If you get them to the biggest wound, all the leaves and limbs can work themselves out. God is a great, great gardener. He can change the root system, and he can get into the branches, and he'll get into the leaves, and eventually you'll start seeing some fruit. Amen? But God, I don't know if there's anybody in here. Has God ever cut any of you guys back? Has God ever cut an old limb off of you that you forgot about being bad, and all of a sudden God just went in there and went, snip. And about 98% of your identity fell off and hit the floor, and you was like, wow, I didn't even know that was still there, and I didn't even know that was who I was kind of identifying as. Amen? Ooh, I love that. God's good. Man, never mind. Whew. I think too much. That's good stuff. He saw him and he had compassion on him. Verse 34, and he went to him and bound up his wounds. He stopped the bleeding. He stopped the bleeding. Those big wounds that he was dying from, he stopped the bleeding. Golly, bum. Let's stop the bleeding. Golly, you know, do you notice what? Well, do you notice he ain't said nothing? Listen, I love this. Have you noticed that the Good Samaritan, which is a representation of Jesus Christ, hadn't said a word yet? Well, I'd like to lead you to the Lord. You know, hadn't said a word. Why do you think he ain't said a word to him? Because what are you going to talk to him about? He's dying. I've been around church long enough. I've been around so many churches, so many ministries, and so many people. They talk about everything under the sun. Versions of the Bible, kind of pants, kind of shirt, kind of jacket, kind of tie, kind of name of church is out on the side. Don't even know if they know what they don't even know anything about Jesus. They don't know anything about salvation. They don't even know anything about the gospel. They're starving, they're hungry, they're naked, they're without. And praise God, you want to tell them, I don't even think that you shouldn't be looking at that. Okay. What should we tell them? We should, oh my God, let's stop the bleeding. You start stopping the bleeding for somebody, and they might want to listen to you. You start stopping the bleeding in somebody's life, they might want to say, hey, wait a minute, nobody else even cared about the bleeding. Thank you. Let's go a little further, because man, it gets better. Listen, y'all say this to yourself, right in your spirit. This guy's a traveler. This guy's from out of town. Y'all get it? He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. What does oil and wine represent? Spirit of God, but guess what it also represents? Money. Valuable. Okay, let me say it again. Oil and wine. Guess who that oil and wine was for? Anybody want to take a wild guess? This man was journeying across however long he was going. He was away from home. The oil and wine is for who? Just say it. It's easy. Himself. Gosh. It was his food. It was his nutrients. It's the stuff that he's got to get through with. Praise God, that's his stuff. This is mine. It's supposed to keep me alive. I can barter, I can trade, I can work with this. I can put it on my own wounds. I can put it on my food. I can drink it to keep myself warm. I've got this stuff's mine. But the minute he ran into somebody that had a need, he said, this stuff is not mine. It's for the person who is wounded. God must have given it to me to give it to them to get well. It doesn't even say he went over and tried to figure out how much of this and how much of that. He just went over and started whatever it's going to take to get this wound right. Whew. Are y'all good? Man, I'm having a good time. Man, this is working on me. Amen? the wounds pouring in oil and wine and set him on his own beast. What does that mean? What did he do to himself? Right away, what did he do? He's tired. He's uncomfortable. Amen? He's becoming a burden. All of a sudden now, instead of riding on the back of this donkey, he's got somebody else who's laid up on the back of that donkey, and he's what? What? He's what? He's walking. He's out. Man, he's giving every. Man, look at all this effort. Man, just sit here and think about this. This is not in America in 2022. This is not a car. Dude, I can chunk somebody in the back of my truck and drive them to Erlanger. Amen? We can take them somewhere and get them a meal. This guy has put him on the bed. This is not something. Has anybody in here ever tried to ride a donkey? Scott, you ever had to ride one? Have you ever seen one get out of control before? You just think about that. This guy puts him on the donkey and secures him to the donkey in such a way that he don't fall off. Time consuming. The effort. And now he's putting himself out. Do you think he's going to have a hard time ever talking to this guy? Do you think he's ever going to have to say, I wonder who loved me. Amen? I wonder who cares about me. I wonder if it was the religious guy. I wonder if it was the law guy. I wonder if it was that guy that I can't even stand to say his name. Amen? Ain't that good stuff? And brought him to an inn and took care of him. The 34, this is the challenge to you guys. You need to get some inns. You need to get some inns. You need to find some inns. So what do you mean? We can become a little bit of an inn for some people, but praise God, if you're going to get in the rescuing business of people's lives, you better find some Yellow Page inns. Amen? Yeah. You better find out some people who take care of people, and you can place those people in their care when it goes past your care. Amen? You understand what I'm saying now? You need to. If you get in the rescuing business, you better have a plan of like, okay, this person is going to need somewhere to sleep, eat, and lodge themselves, and I'm not going to be here in this town very much longer, so I know exactly where to take him. On my phone, I've got some people. If they are homeless, I know somebody. If they are addicted, I know somebody. If there is somebody that's sick, I know somebody. Praise God, I'll get on the phone and say, hey, I'll wound them up, I'll get them dressed, I'll get them to you. Praise God, can you take them? Yep, they're on the way. Amen. They're on the way. Get some ends. Get some ends in your phone. Some people you know who ain't afraid when you say, hey, I've got a red hot addict on they're coming through withdrawals. You got them? Bring them on down. Amen. Even and, you know, some of y'all are going like, well, what if they don't take somebody that's, you know, not fully withdrawn? Have you a number? The local hospital has a detox in it. Amen. Because you can run them by, I'm going to run them by the hospital, going to have them for 3 days, and after that 3 days, can I get them to you? Yeah, you can get them to me. Amen? That's good stuff. Amen? It's good to know. Somebody said, give me an example. Chattanooga Rescue Mission. You have somebody, so I don't have nowhere to stay, and I don't have no food. Give me money. Give me that. And you say, you know what? I can give you a 15-minute ride to food, shelter, Jesus, and you can have an opportunity to work. You know what most of them, you're going to tell right then, are you really wanting it or are you really not? Amen? Never mind, I don't need that kind of help. I've been there. All right, brother, try to help you. Amen? Now, if God puts it on your heart, buy them a meal, try to help them out. But if you can take them and connect them to real help, that's real help. Amen. Thank you. Amen. That's good stuff right there. What's this right here? Have compassion on him and took care. Look at this. And brought him to an inn and took care of him. He stayed and got him out of critical condition. And watch this on 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. And said unto them, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Who is the burden of the cost on? The Samaritan, the inn, and ultimately who? Back to the Samaritan. Ain't that cool? Ain't that cool? They're rescuing a person. Listen, that person is still you that needed that. You should see yourself in there. And there's some people we're going to be able to rescue right there. The cost is not on them. Amen? The cost was paid in full. The inn, they were like, okay, we know this guy's good for it. We're going to take care of him. And if anything's above that, he's going to pay it in full. Amen? Jesus, he is the Redeemer. Amen? You're never going to get in a situation that if God puts it on your heart, puts it in your path, you begin to help people, you're never going to get in a situation where you're going to come out on the bad end of the deal. God is good. Amen. As long as God is in it, you just keep going with God. I don't care if everybody comes to you. That's crazy. Don't do that. Do this. Listen, if God is still ringing the bell, when I say when he's ringing the bell, that means God's saying, do it, do it, do it. And everybody else is saying, don't do it. Do it, do it, do it. God is, you do it. I can tell you right now, I have great, great men and women in my life all the way through ministry. Some of them were saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. God is saying, do it, do it, do it. You know what I mean? You got to keep on. When you go with God and you got to, good people, love them. There ain't nothing wrong with them. They're just thinking they've got your best interest at heart. God has your ultimate best interest at heart. He will have you do some things that the rest of the world will sit and go, that is lunacy. That is, you're setting yourself, you're putting yourself in great, great danger. You're putting yourself out. You're putting yourself in harm. If I ring a bell with somebody, you say, amen, it's all right. You're doing crazy stuff. You shouldn't do that. That's hard. That nobody else is wasting their time. Nobody else is doing it. Praise God. If God is ringing the bell, keep doing it. In about 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, they will come to you and go, man, you were very, very wise to do that. You can say, it wasn't me. I wasn't that smart. I'm not that talented. I ain't that great. It was just God. He would not relinquish, and I kept going with God. When you said I was crazy, when you said I should quit, when you said I should go on nuts, I agreed with you. I agreed with you, but I went with God. Amen? Is that good? Think about that stuff. There's many times you can agree with somebody. This is going to be really hard. I can tell you. I can look at somebody. You're right. Man, but you know what's really hard? Can I just stay right here for a moment? You know what's really hard? 5 years down the road from there when you didn't really follow God and life really is hard because you're doing stuff that was not of God's will. It's probably worse and you're numb or cold towards God and you're sitting in this place going, I wished. That I could go back to that day, make a hard decision, do some hard things, and God be all the way in it. Because the harder it is with God in it, it gets better and better and better. And if you don't believe me, and you say, well, Kevin, I just can't trust you, get in these scriptures, start in the book of Acts chapter 1, and read to the end. Every single time God got those men to do crazy stuff, hard stuff, or impossible stuff, when God was in it, at the end of it, everybody was going, that guy's pretty smart. They're pretty smart, trust of God. Amen? So that's it. That's the gist of that. Verse 36. Which now these three, I love God. Do y'all love Jesus? Look at this right here in verse 36. I'm about done. I got two more verses. Which now these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? He did all that off one question. He asked him, he said, Who is the good one? And in that story, out of the three people, who is the good one? This dude is so eat up with some, he don't like Samaritans so much. He can't believe his own ears, his own heart. He's sitting there going, no, I don't want to answer this question. God will put you in situations that you don't want to answer the question because the only answer is the one that's right. Amen? But watch verse 37. It's so cool. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. You know what he didn't say? The Samaritan. He couldn't even get it out of his mouth. But the one who showed mercy. Amen? We make Christianity and faith and everything we do as Christians sometimes a lot bigger and deeper than they need to be. Sometimes you just need to show mercy, show grace, have a lot of compassion for people, be willing to forgive. Amen? I'm going to give you all some help. I'm going to help myself too as I close right here. If you're struggling in an area in life, people have done you wrong, bad things have happened to you, how do we remedy that? Give mercy, give grace, give compassion, give forgiveness. Amen? You really want to set yourself free as a Christian? You really want to set yourself as a believer? Be the earliest one to true forgiveness in most of the situations in your life, and you'll be one of the most free living people on the face of this planet. I'm not saying dumb. I'm going to say some things right here that are hard. I'm not saying somebody who stole everything you got, I ain't saying them put them over the treasury, okay? I'm not saying the person who hurt children, blessed children, I'm not saying put them over the nursery. That's dumb, okay? It's dumb stuff. But I will say this. If somebody said something, hurt you in some way, done something that, you know, that's just aggravating, be the first one to find forgiveness. Go to the cross. Give them forgiveness. Give them mercy. Give them grace. Love them. Treat them with kindness. As much as you want to pour some hot coals on their head, pour love and forgiveness and compassion on their head. And praise God, wait and see what happens. And somebody, you're going, I know some of y'all right now are going, wait and see what happens with them, right? Because they're going to change. Wait and see what happens with you. Wait and see what happens with you. Because no matter what happens with them, a year down the road, 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road, all of a sudden somebody will say their name and you'll say, I used to be mad at them, but I let it go. Man, I love them. Praying for them. Hope they do well. You'll be a different person. Amen? You say, do you think that works? I didn't know it worked until it happened to me. Amen. I didn't know it worked until somebody used it on me. Amen. It works. Let's all stand.